J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Yeah, a friend asked me if I wanted to go fishing, you know, which is weird. You know, a guy would feel comfortable asking another guy to go fishing, but a guy would never feel comfortable asking another guy to do the same exact thing, but leave out the fishing part. Hey, Charlie, I was thinking this weekend I could swing by real early, pick you up, take you out to this lake I know about. It's beautiful out there. Could watch the sun come up. The way that glistens off the lake in the early morn, something I wouldn't want you to miss. And I figured we could just spend the day sitting real close together on a boat. You up to doing something like that with me? Can we try to kill something? Feels less weird if we're trying to kill something. Same thing with hunting. Imagine describing hunting, but just leaving out the hunting part of the explanation. Hey, Toby, good news. I found a tree fort out in the woods. I figured you and I could cozy up in that all night.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, January 3rd, 2023. Only 43 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com, or our resumption. Took a little break there for the holidays like everybody else. And I was going to start the podcast today. I've been thinking about it for a couple of days now. I think the first thing I'm going to say is, man, did a lot of people die during the holiday break? And then, of course, you have this thing last night in Cincinnati. And despite the situation involving Damar Hamlin, as we proceed here this morning, we're going to try to get into as many of the usual things as we always do. It's been a long break, a lot of things to pick up. Some of them are funny, some of them aren't. Please understand that when we get into the body of today's podcast and we start sort of fooling around again, it is in no way intended to be disrespectful of Damar Hamlin and his family. Because one of the things we have, I dug this out of the archives. This was, I think, 99. And if not 99, it was somewhere right in there. But anyhow, Eric Mink actually had a date with Barbara Walters. I'll go into more detail as we get closer to the segment later on in today's podcast. But what had basically happened is Eric had written something that was not particularly flattering about Barbara Walters, and she read it. I mean, what Eric wrote was true. It wasn't a cheap shot or anything like that, but she read it. And so she decided she was going to grab Eric Mink and then take him to lunch and sort of soften him up. And as Eric was telling us the story of the date with Barbara Walters, well, let me just tell you something. It's pretty damned funny. Anyhow, we'll get to that a little bit later on in today's podcast. What do we know about the situation in Cincinnati last night?
I mean, I don't know. By the time you listen to this, and this is part of the problem with podcasting, you might listen to this at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and Damar Hamlin's situation might have changed radically by the time we are there this afternoon. But as of this morning, here's what we think we know. And it's really freaky because it seems to be very, very eerily similar to the situation involving Chris Pronger years ago. And as they were trying to explain, they had doctors and cardiologists on last night, as they were trying to explain, in a situation like this, almost everything has to go wrong. You have to be the most unlucky person in the world. What happens is, you know, your heart is beating. You know, it's going. And in between each one of those beats, there's a tiny little split second where your heart has pumped in one direction and then it is getting ready to pump again, but there's a little split second in there, and if you are hit extremely hard in exactly the wrong place in your chest when your heart is in between those beats and everything goes wrong, you can have what happened last night. It was a cardiac event, as the doctors call them. Situation caused him to have a heart attack. He is sedated right now as they're trying to give him an opportunity to let his body try to heal in some way while they are pumping certain drugs and things like that into him to help him attempt to recover. So what we have right now in terms of information is not much, you know, and now we wait. So the whole situation is just incredibly sad as the TV stations, you know, the networks and everybody were grabbing hold of this story. Everybody was trying to, you know, what do you say? I felt so bad for Susie Colmer and Joe and Troy and everybody. They were trying to say something. There's nothing to say. And then there's Bob Costas, who, as we know, always usually knows what to say in situations like this. But in this particular case, as he is now a contributor to CNN, in this particular case, I mean, I think this was much more nuts and bolts stuff, as people were just clamoring for information and there really just wasn't that much.
Talk to me about the impact of the financials into the decision making as well.
Now, this anchor on CNN, she usually does a pretty good job. It's such a really stupid question, but I think they were running out of things to say. When you don't have any information, and you got a blank slate there, you got to talk about something. So eventually it just turned to the economic impact of this whole thing, if they had to cancel games or move stuff around or whatever the case may be. But as you hear, there's a long pause before Bob answers the question. And I think that was his way of saying, what the hell did you ask me that for?
Well, I guess those in attendance at the game, if it isn't made up at some point, I guess the tickets for tonight's game, if they do make it up in Cincinnati, they would be good. Perhaps there would be refunds to the Bengal ticket holders if the game is not played at all, because obviously the game was not played to conclusion or anything close to it, because the injury occurred in the first quarter. All that is very much secondary. They did the right thing. The game was the only game, so it had national attention on a Monday night. They did the right thing.
By the way, this audio bleeding through here, that's not me doing that. That's they're interviewing Bob, but they're showing video of what happened. And in the very, very, very deep background, you can hear Joe and Troy. So that's the audio that's leaking through. It's very distracting.
Because it could very well have happened. I don't mean to speak so bluntly here, but suppose they had decided, okay, they took the young man off the field, they gave him CPR, they used a defibrillator, he's on his way to the hospital in an ambulance. Pull yourselves together after a few minutes and play the game. And then let's suppose that word came from the hospital in the middle of the game that he had died. That would be horrible, not only from, most importantly, a human perspective, but also in terms of public relations and the public reaction to that in a social media world, that would be a very bad look for the NFL. So I think both for cold business reasons and, most importantly, for humane reasons, they decided to postpone the game.
Last night, I guess it was around midnight, they were still covering the story, obviously. They said the Buffalo Bills don't want to go back home to Buffalo. If they do even decide to play this game, rampant speculation is that it would probably be on the weekend. Like maybe they would do it on Saturday or maybe another Monday night game, or maybe they would come back and, extend the season by 1 week. You know, you always got that off week between the championship game and the Super Bowl. Maybe they'd have to slide everything down. Maybe because it may not end up affecting the standings, they might not even play the game. I don't know if that's practical, but the point I'm trying to make is the Buffalo Bills don't want to leave their teammate there by himself. They're hoping that tomorrow morning or something, you know, they get word that he's mending impressively and could maybe even, you know, handle visits from his teammates. I mean, you know, who knows what they were thinking at the time, but they didn't want to go home. you know, not to get morbid or draw the thing out or anything like that, but I'm old enough to remember in 1971, there's a player by the name of Chuck Hughes. It was the Bears against the Detroit Lions, 1971. And I think it was either in the last play of the game or very close to the last play of the game. And the guy collapsed and he went down. And apparently it was very controversial, too, because later on they found out that the doctors had misdiagnosed the situation. Player collapses on the field. And again, this being 1971, they didn't have the sophisticated stuff, medically speaking, that we have now. And they did not really have the kind of very, very impressive first responder presence right there at the stadiums. You know, there's always an ambulance sitting there ready to go for the duration of every NFL football game. You don't see it, but it's there. So anyhow, in 1971, this guy for the Lions collapses on the field, and they eventually took him away in an ambulance. But what had happened was he had suffered a hit, and it burst his spleen. And get this, the pain from the burst spleen was apparently so overwhelming and so painful that it caused him to have a heart attack, and the heart attack killed him. So that's the only one of those I can, you know, sort of really remember. People will remember Chris Pronger taking a slam shot right in the heart, stopped his heart, and he went down. My brother-in-law at the time was the cardiologist who treated him, as a matter of fact. And there's stuff I know that I'm not allowed to say. But there's definitely something to be said for youth and health, and a National Hockey League player obviously is in great, you know, the product of tremendous conditioning. And plus, he was in his early 20s at the time, and it's amazing how factors like that play into the ability of somebody to recover. And, you know, Chris Pronger is doing fine. 1978, Daryl Stingley hit by Jack Tatum. NFL didn't have the kind of rules we have now about targeting players and leading with the helmet and stuff like that. So at the time, what Jack Tatum did was, I mean, it was legal. It was, I think, a dirty hit. Most people, I think so. You get a receiver who's all stretched out trying to catch a pass, and he's pretty much defenseless, and some linebacker goes in and puts his helmet, you know, right into his sternum. And it took a long time. It took decades before the NFL finally said, you know, maybe this isn't good for the game. You got a wide receiver just, you know, stretched out there, completely vulnerable, totally defenseless, and some linebacker twice his size goes in there and makes him a quadriplegic for the rest of his life. I don't know that I have every detail of this right, but I talked to a couple of my sports reporter friends in St. Louis last night, and everybody seems to remember the story pretty much this way. So I'll do my best to tell you this with what is admittedly just a little sketchy outline, but it involves Steve Savard. You know, Steve Savard was on the news in St. Louis for years, now working in Springfield, Missouri. But as a young man, he started out wanting to be a National Football League player and made the practice squad back when, I don't know, he was just in his early 20s. And he's playing for the Dallas Cowboys. And at some point in the game, this is an exhibition game, and Tom Landry puts him in the game, and I think it might have been special teams. And that's a good way to get killed, too, is playing for special teams. And you know what that means. Those are the guys who, you know, handle the punts and the kickoffs and stuff like that. Guys running 100 miles an hour directly into one another. And, you know, it used to be even worse. They've changed more of the rules. But that's a real, real easy way to get your head handed to you. But anyhow, Steve Savard goes out there, and on the only play he ever, I guess the word is executed, the only play he participated in his entire National Football League career was one play in an exhibition game. And apparently he was hurt so badly with some sort of neck thing that supposedly Tom Landry said, tell that boy to give this game up. It's not worth getting killed out there. And so, you know, that was the end of Steve Savard's National Football League career. And then, of course, the Daryl Kyle situation, which we just talked about a couple of months ago. And I was at that ball game. Oh, my God. I was taking my girlfriend at the time up to Chicago to see Wrigley Field for the very first time. You know, Cubs and Cardinals. And we're sitting there on a Saturday. The game was supposed to start at, I think it was a noon game. And you could tell something was wrong. Nobody's working on the field. I don't see any pitchers warming up. Cell phones in those days, you know, if you had a cell phone in St. Louis and you're going to Chicago, you had to call your carrier and tell them, I need roaming service in Chicago. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. But that was, you know, cell phones and all that whole situation were fairly new back then. But somebody with it, because Daryl Kyle died in his sleep overnight at the Westin there, right next to the John Hancock building on Michigan Avenue on the Magnificent Mile in Chicago. So nobody really, you know, knew that anything was wrong until they were already at the ballpark and they're suiting up and they're getting ready to take BP and all this sort of stuff. And eventually, because the players get to the ballpark in different ways. Sometimes they take a bus, sometimes they take a cab on their own, Uber. In certain situations, if the ballpark isn't far from the hotel, the player will just want to walk, get some fresh air on the way to the ballpark. And at some point on that Saturday morning, somebody looked around and said, wait a minute, where's DK? And eventually they realized he wasn't at the ballpark and that wouldn't have been like him. Now they're calling, not getting any response. Now they're like, well, we got to go to the hotel just in case something's wrong with it. Of course, you know what happened. You know, I was friends with Fernando Vina back then, Cardinals second baseman. He did our show for, I don't know, it was like 3 or 4 years. So I knew Fernando. I was sitting in his seats, as a matter of fact, at that particular game right behind home plate. And my girlfriend at the time and I walked over to the Westin there. It was maybe like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. I said, let's just walk over and just see what's going on. And Fernando, even then, and this is like 10 hours after the whole thing happened, still looked like he had just seen a ghost. I mean, he had no color in his face. But you have to also scratch your head and ask, what the hell did the people of Buffalo do wrong? This has been an unusually tough time for that city with all these blizzards and just the incapacity of the entire city. Last I heard, something like 39 people died in that blizzard last weekend. And of course, you have the supermarket shooting that occurred over the summer. You know, as a lot of you know, I've always had sort of a love-hate relationship with the city of Buffalo. I was there right before I moved to St. Louis back in the early 80s, and I did not enjoy myself in Buffalo. Things did not go well for me there. I was basically run out of town by the mayor. And it was just a very, very ugly situation. I had a boss who might have been one of the stupidest people I've ever known in my life. He's trying to run the radio station. No experience of any kind. And especially no experience with the kind of people who do shows like me. I mean, it's one thing to be trying to just run a radio station, a normal radio station that plays music and has a couple of disc jockeys and that's that. And a lot of people could do that just fine. But when you have a very high-profile show and you do a lot of boat rocking and people get mad and all this sort of stuff, you need a slightly more sophisticated skill set to be able to be effective in a job like that. And this guy just wasn't. And the weather was awful and I was in a bad apartment, wasn't making any decent money. It was just a fucking cold and snow all the time. And I just couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to get out of there. And in fact, it took me years. Yeah, a couple of decades, I think, before I even went back. I was sort of like a little freaked out by how badly something can go for one person. And that certainly accounted for the year and a half that I was in Buffalo. But anyhow, now I love the place. I love the place. And via social media, it's one of the few good things that comes out of social media. All those guys and all those women that I worked with back there in Buffalo, you know, almost 40 years ago, we're all friends now. We communicate on social media and text and everything all the time. And so I watch all the Bills games. If I got to go to a bar where they got the NFL Sunday ticket, I used to have that, but they just kept jacking up the price and jacking up the price. It's like $350 now, and you can just bite me with that stuff. So I got a chicken wing place down the street. They've got, you know, 25 screens all over the place. I got the NFL Sunday ticket. And if the Bills are playing and the game is not televised where I live, then I go and I watch it. So, you know, I really grown to have some real affection for the city of Buffalo in recent years. Now, something like this happens on top of everything else we've been talking about. Doesn't seem fair. All right. Weather in St. Louis and across the Midwest region today could be an issue. There are thunderstorms in the forecast, could be some heavy downpours, lightning, and stuff like that. It's been like Florida weather for a couple of days. Rain, snow mix in the forecast for Saturday night into Sunday.
Well, it's January. Live in St. Louis. Speaking of sports injuries, obviously nothing like what happened in Cincinnati last night. Blues are toast now for about a month and a half. Tarasenko out. He's out for a month. Ryan O'Reilly out for probably 6 weeks. He got a broken foot. The Republicans start ripping their own guts out of one another. Instead of ripping out the guts of the Democrats, they're going to start attacking each other today as Kevin McCarthy is sitting there trying to get the votes he needs. Going back to last week, they said that today was going to be the day we were going to have some sort of an arraignment and possible charges filed against this guy from rural Pennsylvania. The police in Utah say that we got our guy. And, you know, like at a local level, too. Going back to the news that was, you know, pretty much all awful during the holiday break. Demetrius Johnson, the guy didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. 61 years old. I knew Demetrius, good guy. Then we had a Pope die. Then we found out Martina Navratilova's got throat and breast cancer. Then the Pointer Sisters chick, she died. And Jeremy Renner, one of our better actors these days, got hit by a snowplow over the break, and I don't know. I'm still waiting for details. Some people are saying that he lost a leg. Some people are saying he's got a critical injury to his leg. We're not getting any more details than that, but it sounds like it was probably pretty darn serious. A snowplow. You know, I just happened to glance down here, and I didn't even realize this until right now because I had written it down a couple of days ago getting ready for the resumption of the podcast today. But it was on this date in 1984 that I left Buffalo, New York for Washington, D.C., where I was working at D.C. 101 with Howard Stern. And I remember pulling up into my accommodations, a place called the International Hotel, which was about 4 or 5 blocks away from the radio station in downtown Washington. The hotel I was staying in was eventually purchased by a fellow whose name you might recognize. I think that's, what is it here? It's, Trump. That's his hotel now. Can you imagine staying in that place now? You'd have to sweep the whole place for listening devices. There is an old story about that hotel where a guy checks in. He's on the 14th floor, and he's thinking to himself, I am going to check and make sure that there's no listening devices. There's nothing here. So he's going to the bathroom. He checks all that. He's checking all the outlets. He's going, you know, inch by inch, checking the walls, tapping on the walls, you know, looking inside light bulbs, doing all sorts of stuff, looking around. And at one point, he's like, there's a throw carpet here. Let me just, and he pulls it up, and sure enough, under the carpet, he sees a little 4-inch by 4-inch plate with 4 screws holding it in. And he's like, this is, I gotta know what this is. So he runs to his suitcase and comes back with a screwdriver and, unscrews the 4 screws and pulls the plate off, but it doesn't appear to be anything. It's just a big nothing. But he thinks to himself, well, at least I checked everything. Everything is going to be fine here. That's fine. About 20 minutes later, there's a knock on the door, and it's a representative from the hotel. He goes, sir, I'm just checking to see if you're enjoying your stay. And the guy says, oh, yeah, no, it's very, very nice here. He says, is there anything that we at the hotel can do to make your stay more pleasurable? He's like, no, I think I'm in pretty good shape. He goes, why are you asking me all these questions? And the guy from the hotel says, the gentleman in the room directly below you, his chandelier just fell on him. Right, I said we were going to try to shift gears at some point here today. And again, you're not a horrible person if you laugh at some point today. People are seriously injured in all walks of life, all over the country, all over the world, every single day. This situation last night, because it was nationally televised, it's like a plane crash, you know, because people die by the thousands every single day. But if a plane goes down, it's sensational. So we have a visceral response to something like what happened in Cincinnati last night. But as I said, we are pledging to move forward here, and everybody needs a good laugh today anyhow. And I think you're about to get that. We lost Barbara Walters over the break, and as soon as it was announced, I thought of this, so I went digging into my archives and pulled it up, and sure enough, here it is. Back to the late 90s, Karen Kelly, Steve Schlanger, and live from New York, Eric Mink.
So let's talk about this now. About a month ago, you wrote a story in the New York Daily News, and again, one of the ways that your job has significantly changed since I knew you when, is that you could write a story saying, well, I think Barbara Walters' special on ABC before the Oscars sucked, and here's why. And maybe in some instances that article might pop up somewhere and somebody would find out about it. The difference now is if you write it in the New York paper, they read it. I mean, they pick it up because it's on their doorstep. And if they don't, if they're working out of Los Angeles, it still finds its way there because the network guys go, oh, you know, we're very concerned about the New York paper. They wrote this and this, and then they fax it out to Los Angeles. So if you write something, whether it's about Barbara Walters, who works out of New York, or Jay Leno, who works out of Los Angeles, they see it, and they usually see it the same day, correct?
That's generally the case.
All right. So about a month ago, you write a story. Well, kind of reconstruct this thing. You basically accused Barbara Walters of a little impropriety, and I think justifiably so.
Well, there was no accusation involved, really. Our Broadway reporter found out that she had made a $100,000 investment.
Our Broadway reporter.
We have a Broadway reporter. What can I tell you?
Some guy with plugs in an ascot, I'm just guessing.
Who's the guy that works Sixth Avenue?
This is in addition to the Broadway, to the theater critic.
Oh, man. Mm.
This is a reporter who covers. So anyway, he found out that she had invested $100,000 in the Broadway production of Sunset Boulevard.
Our Broadway reporter. Well, my sources tell me that Liza is about ready to have another eye job.
No, not exactly the kind of reporter.
All right.
In any case, so this struck me, since she had, after that, done an interview with Andrew Lloyd Webber, who is the producer of the show.
And who doesn't do a lot of interviews.
Right, and in essence was, at the same time, her partner, her business partner. I wrote a column in addition to his news story about all of this.
Well, you didn't explain this very well. You didn't explain this very well. She's on 2020, and tonight we have an interview with Andrew Lloyd Webber, and everybody goes, oh, geez, well, he doesn't even do interviews. That damn Barbara Walters, man,
she
really knows how to get them all. Well, it turns out what she doesn't reveal is that she invested $100,000 in Sunset Boulevard, which is an Andrew Lloyd Webber play on Broadway.
Right.
And all she would have had to do at the end of the interview, he goes, and by the way, one of the reasons I know him is because I invested $100,000 in the play. Instead, she doesn't. You reveal that, and at least had the appearance of an accusation of impropriety, which I think was fair.
Yeah, well, by the way, I don't think that in this case, revealing that she had made the investment was sufficient. If you've got the investment, you don't do the interview. You have somebody else do the interview.
Well,
you have a business relationship with this person, and you stand to gain by the publicity that you generate.
Are you trying to tell me that you wouldn't have been happy if she just said at the end, and by the way, I invested money, $100,000 in his production? And
no.
Oh,
no.
See, now I disagree with that.
That's
goofy.
I don't think that's enough.
Her job is to interview people. Are they going to have John Stossel do it?
Exactly. Her job is to interview people. It's not to invest and become the business partners of the people she's interviewing and for her interviews to be in a position to benefit her financially.
All right. Get to the good stuff. When did you have lunch with Barbara Walters?
Yesterday.
All right. Now, this is a lunch. This was not a luncheon. This was not a luncheon.
And by the way, she is great.
Wait, no, wait. Now,
okay.
She...
What'd she have?
Would you get a hotel later? No, wait. Now, this is not a lunch-in where, you know, a bunch of dignitaries and press show up and you just happen to run into her. You guys actually sat down face-to-face at a table and broke bread.
I tell you what happened, actually.
Who called who?
She called me.
Who picked the restaurant?
Barbara Walters called you.
Yeah.
Did she say, don't get back to me?
Hello?
Eric, how'd you find the time? I mean, how'd you squeeze it in?
Hello?
Yeah, exactly. I said, let me get back to you, babe.
Hello, Eric?
Actually, right after all of this happened, she went on a vacation to the Orient. She went on she flew to, I think, Hong Kong, and then she got on a cruise ship and went up to Cambodia and Vietnam.
It's a cruise ship.
And that's a vacation?
Wow, she got away from it all.
Cambodia?
Cambodia. And Vietnam.
So.
Did she stay at the Courtyard by Marriott in Cambodia?
Yeah. She swung through Albania on the way back just to really relax.
So
she couldn't make Bosnia this trip.
She apparently just got back into the country. And on Monday, she called and asked if I would be willing to have lunch with her.
Yeah. And you say?
I said, sure.
Okay. So who picked the restaurant? Good question, Karen.
She asked me if there was any place near the paper that was convenient, and of course there isn't since we're in a warehouse district. And so she then suggested a restaurant near ABC, and that's where I met her.
Okay, so you go to a restaurant, you walk in, you shake hands. Hello, I'm Barbara Walters. Hello, Eric.
It wasn't quite like that.
Well, tell us what happened.
I had lunch with Barbara Walters, not with Elmer Fudd.
You made the list, Eric.
But if you had the choice, would you have rather dined with Elmer, Eric? He could have been more enlightening.
Yeah. Yes, can I take your order, please? Yes, I'd like to have the Wasquey Wabbit.
Poor so Eric. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's okay. The first thing I said naturally was, we should
What's wrong with your mouth?
We should clarify what the ground rules are. Oh. Are we on or off the record?
Hmm. And she says, well, if a ball bounces into the stands, it's a ground rule double.
But if I determine that the runner would have scored when he was rounding the base, then it's a judgment call on my part.
I should have, the cup protector should have been the tip-off.
You didn't spit on her now, Eric. Come on.
No, just to the side.
Okay.
Roberto Mink.
So she said that she would prefer that this be off the record, and if we wanted to do an interview at some later time, we could work that
and
out.
And no playing footsie under the table.
So, well, she didn't say anything about the feet, but she did say...
All right, so what happened? What did you guys say to each other?
Well, I can't tell you.
Was she... Why?
It was off the record.
Oh, well, what was the part that was on the record?
What I've told you so far.
Get out of here. You mean you got us this far, and now you're not going to tell us what the hell she said?
That's correct.
Oh, no, no.
You are the biggest tease. You are the biggest tease. I already have my condom on.
Sick. He actually went to bed with it last night. Save time.
Whoa, Eric.
Well, once you're in the habit, I
don't
guess.
Don't dangle the carrot like
you're
this,
Eric.
You're
trying to tell me that you got us this far, and now you're not going to tell us what the hell happened?
Well, I can tell you that we had a nice lunch.
What did she eat?
There have to be parts of this you can tell us. What did she eat?
Okay, she had an omelet. And I had a salad, and she was so
distressed. Did you go to IHOP?
She was so what?
She was so distressed that all I had was a salad that she sliced off a hunk of her omelet.
Thanks, Mark.
Threw it on my plate, said, here, eat this.
She sliced off a hunk of her omelet, threw it on your plate, and said, eat this.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Now you said,
We were there for about 2 hours.
At the wow.
2 hours, wow.
At the beginning of this, you said, and by the way, she was great. Now, what does that mean?
Well, that means, obviously, she charmed the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remember something here.
You're a man, and she's a woman, and what happens between two consenting adults?
Will there be a second lunch?
Think of the people that she's interviewed. Do you think that...
Are you free Friday night?
Eric, are you going steady? Have you determined that you'll have lunch with nobody else? You're exclusively having lunch with each other from now on, right?
We're booked.
Don't cheat on her now.
Says, I'm sorry, I have to be with Hugh Downs this weekend.
I had her people call my people.
Oh,
and we're
man.
All set up.
When you guys left, did you like shake her hand and say, I'll be in touch, so you be in touch?
Yeah. Like nobody
we'll do lunch.
Pulled that one on her. Actually, I have to tell you what happened when we left, because this is funny. We walk out of the restaurant onto the street, and there's a guy out there with a camera and a flash like a paparazzi, and he starts flashing pictures off
so
at her.
Eric and Barbara Walters on the cover of the Inquirer next week. Barbara Walters' secret love interest.
And she turns to me like, is this something you set up? And she didn't say that, but she had that sort of expression on her face, and I just, you know, had the same sort of expression on my face.
Eric wet his pants.
So the guy starts walking backwards down the street as I'm walking towards the subway, which is on, and her office is on the way to the subway stop. So,
were you holding hands?
No. So he says, oh, Ms. Walters, who is the gentleman?
No.
And she looks around like, where?
And she says, this is my son, Robert.
No.
No, she's goofing on the guy because she's sort of irritated. And so we continue, and then she slips her arm through my arm.
Oh, my
God. And we're walking down the street together, and she leans over to me, and she says, Richard Nixon told me that if you don't want him to crop a photo, lock arms with the person next to you, and they can't crop it out. like I'm getting Nixon tips from Barbara Walters.
Nixon tips from Barbara Walters on the next Geraldo.
By the way, I think that makes the list.
I got it.
Nixon, she's writing it right now. I'm getting Nixon tips from Barbara Walters.
So at some point she realizes she really shouldn't mislead the guy because the guy had pulled out a piece of paper and started to write my name. I started to write down Robert.
Robert and, Walters.
So then she has to convince him that I'm not her son.
Did you ask her for an allowance when you left?
So at this point, the guy doesn't know what to believe. And she says to him...
The guy says, well, no, come to think of it, she did take a piece of her omelet and throw it on his plate and say, eat it. It sure sounds like a mother to me.
We're not leaving this table, Eric, until you've finished your omelet.
Did you take your bib off?
You clean your plate, young man.
But you know what I didn't
She cut
like?
It in fours for him.
I hated it when she took that wet rag and wiped my face.
Did you get chocolate milk?
Eric drinking out of a sipping cup.
With a mom.
Hey, those are good. You know, they, you throw them on the floor and they don't spill.
Eric was eating with his fingers off the tray.
Did they give you a placemat to draw on?
You know what the best part was?
Eric tracing the maze with his crayons.
What was the best part?
The peas.
The peas?
Isn't that what you always give kids? Give them peas. Give them peas or Cheerios.
Yeah, a bowl of Cheerios. There you go.
We have to get their hands on.
We have to go. We're supposed to be doing baseball here. You're having lunch with Barbara Walters, for God's sakes. Anything on this weekend we should know about?
What matter? What does it matter?
So what time do you appear on our Oscar special?
What does it matter? I'm in love.
All right. I think we all needed that. And thanks to Eric Mink. And we'll talk more about Barbara Walters later this week. I got another couple stories I think you'll enjoy. All right. We are back up and running. And we're here every weekday morning just after 7 o'clock St. Louis time. As always, you can email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Please help spread the word that we are here doing this show every day. And in the meantime, we've eaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.